I'm Julie.
And guess what day it is?
Guess what day it is?
Guess what day it is? Anybody? Anybody?
Guess what day it is?
Guess what day it is? Anybody? Anybody?
Mike.
Huh?
What day is it, Mike?
Huh?
Woo-hoo! Mike.
Huh?
What day is it, Mike?
Huh?
Oh, come on, I know you can hear me.
Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Hump day!
It's hump day.
Hump day!
Mike. What day is it, Mike? Mike. What day is it, Mike?
It's hump day.
Hump day!
It's hump day.
Hump day!
Happy hump day, San Rafael. You're listening to Penguin Radio, only at radio.dominican.edu. This is Good Day from the Bay. I'm Harper Clementine.
And I'm Ruby Joe. Welcome to our show, where we give you the news feeds, the entertainment leads, and some sports leads.
And to start out with some news feeds, I believe you, Ruby Joe, have some news for us today.
I have some great news for us today, actually. You know, it's always good to start with good news, I like to say.
Mm-hmm.
So first, the violent crime rate is way down. Californians today are less likely to be murdered or fall victim to violent crime than any other time since 1960s. According to the new figures from California's Department of Justice, the murder rate was 4.6 killings per 100,000 California residents, an 8% decline from 2012 and a 64% decline from 1993, when the cities throughout the state struggle to stop gang killings.
Wow.
Isn't that some great news?
Where did you get that from?
I got it from the Sacramento Bee, actually.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
See, and I feel like California has this like weird reputation of being like a golden state, but I also feel like there's those areas that get misinterpreted as like gang areas. I mean, don't get me wrong, like Compton and Inglewood are very dangerous. Like,
yeah,
some parts of Richmond are very dangerous, but I mean,
this is good news for everyone.
That's good. Hey, it benefits us all, right?
Yeah. Feeling safer in California already.
I like
especially
that.
Since, you know, that was the year I was born.
Maybe it has something to do with you.
Yeah, I know. Ever since I was born, everyone's like, oh, we gotta, you know,
we
keep
gotta
it calm
down. We gotta keep it safe.
We gotta keep it
little
safe.
Little baby girls out there.
Yeah, exactly. I like
see,
it.
See, I like where you're going with that one. Okay, did you hear about the blood moon last night?
I did hear about the blood moon, and I looked some articles up about it, and it was the coolest thing I actually saw on the internet.
Did you see
last
night. It?
Personally, I didn't wake up at 5 a.m. to see it.
Ungodly
but
hour.
There was, they're calling it the moon selfie, because a bunch of people
selfie.
Got the moon selfie.
No, they did not. Oh
yeah,
my
so they,
gosh,
they got
a selfie with the moon.
Yeah, because you could see it. But a lot of people are saying they're like, ew, moon selfie. Like they were thinking that it was going to be a, you know, a different part that
yeah.
was the moon, not really the sky moon. If you know what I'm saying. Yeah. So
I see what you did there.
Yeah. So the blood moon is when the Earth positioned itself between the sun and the moon, creating a full lunar eclipse with a majestic red glow. The total lunar eclipse was visited at the moon set in Northern California. You can most see it in Northern California mm-hmm. or Northern America.
Okay.
The glowing orb was 5.3% larger than the last total lunar eclipse, which occurred on April 15th, according to NASA.
Mm-hmm.
The eclipse is the second in the rarest series known as the T-trad, in which the moon is completely covered by the Earth's umbrella shadow, the four eclipses in a row. As opposed to any particular eclipse in the fall. So it was a pretty cool thing that was happening. You could see it at 5 in the morning this morning if you
jeez.
Missed it. Sorry, you can look
wait
it up online.
Wait again
until
like what, April? You have to
yeah.
wait again until like
you
April?
Have to yeah, wait again until April 4th, 2015, according to NASA, where you can see your next one.
Wow, that's really exciting. I'm glad you looked that up because I heard about it and didn't really know much about it. When you hear blood moon, you
yeah,
think
that's what
a
I got
bloody
worried.
Red moon.
And there was a bunch of different articles saying that the blood moon led to scary, different, you know, ghost stories
yeah. where the ghosts come out and play because the moon's all bloody.
Yeah.
All there the vampires
all,
are
all the different little like hoo-hoo stories about it.
So hoo-hoo and Halloween.
Exactly. If you're really into all that scary stuff, I'm really not. So I didn't want to go digging any farther deep into those ghost stories.
Digging beyond the surface.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So
no, I agree.
The blood moon for you.
The blood moon. It's back at you. April 2015.
Yeah,
keep your eyes peeled.
2015. April 4th, to be precise.
Well, my piece of news isn't that cool.
Let's hear yours.
I mean, it's pretty cool. I mean, but it has nothing to do with our country.
Okay.
So, I mean, we'll just give it a go. So, a Somali bank installed the country's first automated teller machine, a.k.a. the ATM, what all of us Americans have come to know and love so graciously. It is located in the capital city of Mogadishu, and it's been seen as a big step forward for this country. There's a man who is saying that he's been staying in Mogadishu for longer than he originally planned, and he began to run out of cash. This man's Omar Hassan, and he said he couldn't believe his luck when he heard about the new cash machine. The report said the machine was installed by Salam Somali Bank, and although the country's main currency is shilling, the machine will dispense the popular U.S. dollar. ATMs have long been ubiquitous in major cities around the world. Time magazine reported that the first teller machine was pitched by inventor John Shepherd Barron to Barclays Bank, and the first machine was installed in 1967. The reports point out that, like most inventions, Barron's claim is a matter to dispute. So I think
the first ATM machine in Africa.
I take that so for granted. When I read that, I was like, what?
I take that for granted. I remember when my high school got their ATM machine involved on campus.
No
installed.
Way.
Yep.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, yep. I thought that was a huge step forward. I think it's so funny. I mean, later we'll be talking about the whole Apple Pay and this new app called Plastic. And it's so funny that us Americans, we have our credit cards and cash on our phones.
Yeah, we take it
swiping.
For granted.
We're literally scanning and swiping off our phones, and people in Africa are just getting ATMs to maybe have a little cash.
Well, I feel like there's a controversy since they are giving dollar bills out in the ATM machines.
I don't think there's a controversy. I think I'm curious to see how they're going to do it, though, because from my understanding, the shilling, it's like a peso.
Yeah.
I mean, the U.S. dollar is so much higher than it currency-wise. I mean, I could be mistaken, but I'm pretty sure that's the case, and I'm very curious on how they're going to do that, because I'm sure 100 shillings is probably a dollar, and I know our ATMs here do not dispense anything lower than a 20.
And it's not like in America you can give other money and
go to a bank and have it all sorted out. I mean, it's like this is a one-shot deal, but anywho, I mean, good for Africa for taking that step forward. I'm sure that this is the beginning to a very beautiful and uplifting change.
I agree.
For the country financially.
Pretty good news right now.
Now, kind of switching gears. Well, not really switching gears, but switching topics within Africa. Everybody knows about this Ebola breakout. And most people are questioning, is it true? Is CDC telling the truth? Are these doctors that are coming out in the news telling the truth? What's going on? All we know is that those are the facts. I mean, we know that there's a man in Texas.
We know what we read.
Yeah, we know what we read. There's a man in Texas who's contracted the virus, and he's exposed himself to hundreds of people. I mean, they
counted at least 100
because
of the plane.
And he threw up outside, and that's a huge biohazard.
And he's being quarantined in this place right now.
So we know that for sure. We know it's in America, but what we're unsure of is how deadly it is. But I believe, Ruby Joe, you have a little bit about this.
I do, but not in America. We're going to switch over to Spain. So Spanish health authorities reacted forcefully yesterday after a nurse's aide was found to have contracted Ebola, putting her in complete isolation, quarantining her and her husband and two other people, and getting a court order to euthanize her dog.
Oh.
Yeah. The case marked for the first time the disease has been contracted outside of West Africa and has been alarmed health workers throughout Europe. The European Union has demanded an explanation from Spain as to how the health workers could have become infected with this disease. The response by Madrid raised the spectators that pets could spread the disease. The city of Madrid got a court order to euthanize the woman's dog over her and her husband's objections, according to the Associated Press. The government said available scientific knowledge suggests a risk that dogs could transmit the virus to humans.
This is just, it's like, when I think of Ebola, I mean, I don't know about you, I think about like a rash or like dominoes or like tripping and falling over your shoelaces. Like, it's just something that you can't really pick yourself up from and completely
contain. Well, it's such a scary thing that it's you know, going nationwide, people are freaking out about this thing that we can't even wrap our fingers around.
I feel like us as Americans, we're either too wrapped up in over too much hysteria, or we don't have enough hysteria. I feel like we almost feel immune,
untouchable,
or we feel like overly paranoid. And I feel like that's the fault, because people are either not getting checked. They're like, oh, well, I'm never gonna have Ebola. But then I feel like there's people who are constantly stressing out about it. And I don't know, it's just a really scary thing. But you know that there was those two Americans in Africa who caught Ebola, and only one could have the drug?
Yeah.
Okay, well, there was also an American journalist who contracted Ebola while working in Liberia, and he is now being treated with an experimental drug. It's the same drug the first Ebola patient diagnosed in the U.S. is receiving. And on Tuesday, Nebraska Medical Center announced that Ashoko Mukopo, he is being treated with brinaketofovir, and it's made by a biopharmaceutical company called Shearmex. After looking at the data on the drug, collaborating with the Center for Disease Control and Prevention and Food and Drug Administration, and speaking with the patient and his family, they've decided it's in his best interest for this treatment, Dr. Phil Smith, medical director of Nebraska Medical Center's Biocontaminant Unit, says. He also states, every patient is somewhat different, and we believe the brinaketofovir is the best choice. Doctors are looking at other options for this treatment as well.
Right now, it's the only choice that they have.
Yeah, I mean, if I were them, they have nothing to lose.
Yeah, exactly. You might as well have to take it, because, or, you know, die.
Just or die. I mean, just drop dead. Just eat some poison pudding.
I know, it's sad. It's really, it's a sad subject.
It's a very sad, serious thing, but yeah. It's just one of those things where it's kind of almost funny how ignorant people are to what their options are. I mean, I almost like Americans feel like they're like they need, and this is what they should have.
And they go to all the doctors.
And they think that they deserve everything in the world because we're a first world country, but it's like you're only human, right?
Exactly.
But
bring us to our next story.
And this story is not funny, but I couldn't kind of help but giggle. I giggled, but it was like not in the appropriate context.
Yeah, when Harper first told me a story, I was like, what?
It's like you feel
read
almost,
that one more time,
you
please.
Feel so uncomfortable and a little awkward that you can't just help but get a little
a little chuckle.
A little awkwardness.
I don't know how funny that little
we'll see.
Laugh
I mean, you guys can be the judge. Yeah, you can be the judge of this.
It's kind of an awkward laugh.
It's a very awkward laugh, but you guys can be the judge of what you think. We're going to start out with Delaware State Police say they have arrested a mother of a four-year-old girl after the child allegedly brought, get this, heroin to her daycare center. And not only did she bring heroin to her daycare center, she began to pass it out to her other classmates.
Like Halloween. Here
like
you
it
go.
Was, yeah, here's my mom's free heroin.
Candy.
Ashley Toll of Shelbyville, Delaware, was charged with maintaining a drug property and 3 counts of endangering the welfare of a child. Investigators said the substance was tested at the police station and determined to be heroin. Police say the girl inadvertently brought the bags of heroin in her backpack that Toll had given her after the girl's regular backpack was ruined by a family pet Sunday night, according to the police. According to the child, she thought the packets were candy and began passing them out to other students. Several children were taken to the area's hospitals as a precautionary measure and were released after being examined. A total of, are you ready for this?
Let's hear it.
249 bags of heroin carrying 3.735 grams was located in the backpack. According to Delaware State Police, Toll, who has a 9-year-old boy and an 11-year-old girl that live with her in addition to the 4-year-old, was released on $6,000 bail. Authorities
say the 4-year-old was released?
No. The mom was arrested, but she has a 9-year-old boy, an 11-year-old girl, and then that's in addition to the 4-year-old girl.
Oh, wow.
The mother was released on $6,000 bail, and authorities say a no-contact order was issued, and the children are currently in custody of a relative.
Well, yeah.
Isn't
that's
that
a lot
freaking
of
crazy?
Heroin.
I'm like, what did you do? Like, did you realize that your heroin backpack wasn't like the Scooby-Doo backpack?
Do you really think it was empty, too, when she handed it
like,
to the child?
Yeah, it was like, oh, it's just a little heavy. It's because the keychains.
Yeah, all the keychains on the backpack.
Like, what in the heck?
Here, this is a really
and
pretty
that
backpack.
Poor little girl. She had no idea. She, like, I mean,
you would think you would check the backpack before you would go to school, though.
I mean, well, when you're 4.
That's true.
She probably thought it was candy. She probably thought her mom gave her a backpack full of candy.
Yeah.
I would have thought it was candy, but no. Anyway, this Matt, I mean, I don't know how I felt about the mom being released. I mean, I feel like jails are so impacted that the last thing it should be full of is people who are selling drugs. I feel like that's an issue in itself, and yeah. It's a nonviolent crime. I feel like there's other ways to go about that, but I'm glad that the children are safe and in the custody of a relative who does not hand out heroin-filled backpacks.
Exactly.
To their preschoolers.
To their four-year-old child.
So that's my wrap-up for news. Do you got anything else to ask, Ruby Joe?
No, that's a very good wrap-up on the news. Really fun, interesting story for you there.
Maybe we turn around from the heroin, which is not so good for you, to something maybe a little bit better for you, like health?
Yeah, we're going to do a little health kick going on right now.
I like that.
So 2 hours before a workout, we're going in for the long haul. So eat a meal that consists of 0.5 to 1 grams of carbohydrates for every body weight you have, says the Ohio-based dietitian. In other words, if you're 150 pounds, aim to consume 75 to 150 grams of carbs, which is about 300 to 600 calories. Stay light on protein, fiber, and fat, which takes longer to digest, and don't feel muscles as efficiently. Consume 17 to 20 ounces of water or sports drinks. Dehydration has been clinically shown to derail performances. So make sure you stay hydrated. That's really important.
And I think
eating
that's very
enough protein before a workout.
Staying very hydrated is very important, ladies and gentlemen.
Exactly. So not only is, you know, pre-workout fuel good for your body, mm-hmm. post-workout fuel is just as important. You don't want to collapse on the ground after you work out. You really don't. You should immediately start taking fluids. All right. So take water, sports drinks, smoothies, even chocolate milk within 30 minutes.
I heard that.
Yeah. So carbs for glycogen replace and boost the immune system. So how do these carbs and proteins come within energy drinks, solid food, and a mix of both is a matter of individual performance and depends on your stomach is able to handle. So don't like drink too much to make your stomach too full, because mm-hmm. then that's not
then
good for anyone.
You're sloshing around, you get a cramp, and that's not glamorous.
Exactly. But you want to have about 300 to 400 calories total, with a carb to protein ratio of 3 or 4 to 1. Mm-hmm. So there you go on that little pre-workout and post-workout.
I feel like it's pretty fair.
Exactly.
Modified.
However, it's time to focus on after workouts. You need to know your body. So you need to know when it's appropriate to taper down. So no tapering down is if your mileage is 10 to 20% reduction. So 7 days before a race, you're not aiming for a goal. You're just, you know, running to run. You don't need taper time because you're just adjusting to your workouts. Mm-hmm. However, if you traditionally run about 2 to 3 times per week, 25% reduction to your mile. So 40% reduction in miles. So what you want to do is you're tapering down. So results show that tapering down most people balances between recovering your body and maintaining your training. So if you work out more, you want to make sure your recovery is longer.
Okay.
But if you work out 4+ times a week, you need to consider you may be getting injuries if you overdo it.
Wow, so that would explain a lot of what's going on.
Yeah, you need to make sure you're taking care of your body. So even with injuries, if you become stressed, your body takes a toll too. So your stress can really take a toll on the muscles in your body.
That's what's happening to us, Ruby Joe.
It is.
It makes sense.
It's our stress. It's our coping with our injuries.
It's our 4+ workouts a week.
Yeah. So that's what you need to do. You need to make sure you post-workout, eat a lot, stay healthy, pre-workout, drink a lot of water and stay hydrated.
Stay fit or get hit.
Yeah, there you go. And then make sure you spend enough time for your body to taper down and relax.
That was good. I really like that, Ruby Joe.
There you go.
Oh, that was nice.
A little health kick for you today.
Well, we're going to go back to a little commercial break. But before we go, we have a little bit of a tease. We got entertainment coming up. Remember when Miley Cyrus brought that homeless man to accept her VMA award?
Oh, yeah. I remember
that. Yeah, that was a big one. We got a story about him coming up next. Seventh Heaven or 7 Minutes in Heaven.
Ooh.
The father of Stephen Collins is caught in a sex scandal or sex abuse scandal. I don't know how you would want to classify that one. And Amanda Bynes, engaged, back in action with her belligerent bombshells.
Oh, there we go.
And then we have Jennifer Lawrence finally breaking her silence on the recent picture dilemma she had just a couple weeks ago. That's all after our break. I'm Harper Clementine.
And I'm Ruby Joe.
And this is radio.dominican.edu. And you're listening to Good Day from the Bay.
We'll be right back.
We'll be right back. too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off of you.
Coming at you with another Bosco break. Christina Chesterman, 21, was studying to be a nurse when she was killed by a suspected drunk driver last year. But she managed to save lives anyway. A registered organ donor, Chesterman gave five people, including a baby, new life, and now the woman who received her heart wants to do something in return. Susanna Vieira, 64, has vowed to check off everything on Chesterman's bucket list, written down on a piece of paper her mom recently found. One of the items, save someone's life. Another, be in four places at once. Kinda trippy if you ask me. Vieira had completed several of the tasks already, including learning to fly a plane and riding a camel, ABC News reports. Vieira says, together we will finish her bucket list. I'd like to thank all things I continue to accomplish in my life. I'm taking Christina with me, Vieira continues. Chesterman's mom adds that she felt an instant connection to the woman she just met. Chesterman's friends are also helping to complete the bucket list, including one who took Chesterman's picture along for a first-class flight and another who went skydiving in her honor. You wonder why someone like that is taken so young, but I believe Christina was one of those very rare people who was so complete as a person already, says one friend. The rest of us are just a work in progress. As for another miracle, Jahia McMath, the 13-year-old girl declared brain dead not long after having her tonsils removed in December, has been kept on feeding and breathing support at St. Peter's University Hospital in New Brunswick, New Jersey. Now, the Oakland, California girl's family says Jahi is once again showing brain activity, and they're asking a Bay Area court to walk back its declaration that she is dead. The newspaper notes that were this to happen, it would mark the first time an individual declared brain dead was found to regain brain activity. One prominent physician says, such a reversal would be miraculous and would force us to re-examine the whole nature of death in America. Then he added, but I don't believe it. The family's attorney, meanwhile, says he has medical experts, including world-class experts on brain death, who will testify she is not brain dead. In court documents filed Tuesday, Christopher Dolan also said and claimed Jahi now responds to commands given by her mother. He says the determination of brain death occurred when there was swelling in her brain, and he says that swelling has subsided. While family members haven't disclosed who is privately paying for Jahia's care, they've acknowledged that by reversing her status as dead, she'd be eligible for state benefits just like others who are on ventilators and not brain dead. A hearing is set for Thursday. That's it for your Bosco break. Get back to the show.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Harper Clementine.
And this is Ruby Joe.
And you're listening to Good Day from the Bay, only on radio.dominican.edu. Before we went on to our break, we said that we had a story about Miley Cyrus's MTV Video Awards date, Stephen Collins, 7 minutes in heaven, or seventh heaven, and Amanda Bynes being engaged, and Jennifer Lawrence breaking her silence on her recent picture dilemma.
All juicy stories for you coming up.
I know. We got the best. We got that Hollywood sleaze for you. Ruby Joe, where would you like me to begin?
I think we should start with Miley. That's always a good place to start out.
She's just being Miley.
Because she's just being Miley.
Remember when Miley Cyrus brought to the MTV Video Awards this year a shocking date?
I remember that.
And we all knew him as Jesse. He just made himself clear. His name was Jesse. 22-year-old. He was a 22-year-old. And he's running into trouble with the law. I suppose he...
Shocker. Start with that.
He was a runaway teen, and he just happened to run into Miley Cyrus at this shelter that she was partnering up with to do community service work with. And it is so sad that he's going to jail. The 22-year-old and his lawyer has asked the judge for leniency because he has broken his probation. And attorney Whitney Boyce even pleaded in the court saying her client would like to be viewed as a good person and not as a nuisance to society. Judge Monty Campbell, however, cited continuing probation violations as the reason to revoke his probation and send him to jail would be the only option.
Jesse Helt was originally arrested in 2010 on a misdemeanor charge, and this last year he failed to meet with his assigned probation officer and complete his required community service. Oh. Although no reports leaked exactly what those misdemeanor charges were in 2010.
Yeah, I don't think they actually will come out because he's trying to keep everything under wraps anyways.
Well, I feel like it just no one really cares.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not even like, the only thing. I mean, it was great that Miley Cyrus did that. I think she had good intentions, but no one's really focusing on the guy that her date was. I mean, no one really cared.
Talk about a downgrade.
Yeah, so Liam Hemsworth, if you're listening to this, we think you're so hot.
Shout out to you.
Shout out to our future husband, Liam.
Shout out.
But that's what's going on. Miley Cyrus has made no comment. It's unknown as to whether or not Cyrus is getting involved with the matter.
She's kind of stayed low-key recently.
I feel like
I haven't heard much about her.
I've stopped following her on Instagram. It feels like a breakup.
I stopped following her on Instagram,
Dude, she's weird.
Because things got really weird on Instagram. There's too many selfies.
She was posting too many, like, cross-eyed things.
Yeah,
and beads.
It was weird.
Lots of beads.
Wow, look at twins.
I know. We were really... Synchronicity is key in this show.
It really is.
Yeah, you'll pick up on it. If you haven't picked up on it now, I don't know where you've been.
Yeah. Obviously not listening here.
But kind of shifting, like, into like a little bit more serious matter. Seventh Heaven or Seven Minutes in Heaven. As you all probably have already heard, Stephen Collins, who played the beloved father and pastor on the family-friendly series Seventh Heaven, has reportedly been caught on tape admitting he molested three young girls. There is a formal complaint on file, and the incident is being investigated by the Manhattan Special Victims Squad. A New York law enforcement source has reported, Collins owned an apartment in New York City's Upper East Side in the 1990s. The property was sold in 1997, and in a tape posted on TMZ, a man on the site who claims to be Collins is heard telling his therapist and the wife about the incidents. So TMZ reports Collins' wife, Faye Grant, secretly recorded this whole tape that's been used in their divorce proceedings. And in the state of California, there's no law against it if it's to help incriminate someone.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's a good law, though. I like that law.
I like that law, too, because I feel like there's a lot of loopholes when it's against the law.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of bad guys get away.
And now they don't.
And if you're innocent, you'll be proven innocent.
And if you're guilty, you'll be proven guilty. We're on point.
Nailed it.
On point.
Nailed it. But there was an update. Last night I was reading that there was shots heard in Collins' home in Tarzana, California. Neighbors were obviously very concerned about what was going on.
Alarm shaking up from that.
Yeah, amidst the rumors going around. They called 911, and at 9:53 p.m., it was reported that Stephen Collins is alive and well. According to the Los Angeles Police Department, officers swarmed the Seventh Heaven Star home in Tarzana, California. And after witnesses reported to the authorities, they heard a distinct pop. Police immediately rushed to the residence, and in fear that someone may have used a gun or even committed suicide, it was further concluded that nobody, including Collins, was inside the home. NBC News also confirmed that LAPD was able to communicate with the actor via FaceTime to ensure he was safe.
Via FaceTime.
What has our world come to?
Via FaceTime. I think it's really funny how, you know, just pick up your iPhone and you'll know where the, you know, here they are. They're alive.
You
and your noises today.
I'm working on my DJ stuff.
I feel it. I like it.
It's whatever. I'm going with the flow.
I like it though. It doesn't, you know, it's a good mashup.
Like, I mean, it was good because I was talking about phone. You were talking about cell phones. It's like,
yeah.
I was your bed music.
I like it. Yeah, there we go.
I'm the bed music to your voice.
Always
and forever.
Always and forever.
So moving right along into Amanda Bynes, she's back in action. And by action, I don't mean like acting. I mean like belligerent bombshells. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. The 28-year-old former star, who seemed to be doing better after a public breakdown last year, told In Touch Weekly reporter that she is engaged to a... Drum roll, please. That was good. But she's engaged to a 19-year-old man named Caleb. Oh. Bynes was snapped with a sparkling ring on her left hand in New York City a few days ago, and she said her fiancé works at a bait shop in California. In Touch reported that Amanda Bynes has stated, quote, "I am very needy for friendship, and I hate men. I want to F them, but I can now say I'm engaged. Get away from me," end quote. Quote again, "I want to be married and I want to be away from people." She added, she wants to start a family. Quote, "I want boys for sure. However many I can pop out. I don't want a gorgeous girl around though. Then I would feel jealous. Ew." End quote.
jealous of her own daughter?
I was like, cuckoo, cuckoo.
That's psycho.
That's scary that she has, at this point in her life, has stated clearly, I want kids. Not a girl, though. God forbid she has a girl. She gets jealous.
That would be so scary if she ends up having a girl, though, when she said that. Because I would feel like that child is in danger completely.
What if you were her daughter and you read that article later? I mean, I guess if the kid's ugly, she's safe. But, I mean, Amanda Bynes isn't ugly. She was so pretty. Yeah, she does it to herself. She's ugly because she did it to herself.
What's funny about the article you're reading about me, about this. About you? Not about me. About Amanda Bynes. Is that I read that they actually don't know who this guy is. And that they think that he may be made up.
In her head.
Yeah.
It was reported 2 weeks ago that she was in a diner by herself, and they have a video clip of it on E! News where she's sitting in a diner just talking to herself, wearing her funky little wig.
That's weird.
But we need to make a note of this. On September 10th, her parents' conservatorship ended, and since then, she's gotten in a DUI. She's disappeared off the radar, and her parents have no indication of where she is. I mean, they not a trace.
Well, now, you know, she has her lovely boyfriend.
Her fiancé.
Fiancé.
Get it straight.
Sorry.
Yeah, so Caleb, if you're out there and you exist, let somebody know.
Let someone know you exist.
So that way we can report and follow up on you.
Not that you're engaged, that you're a real person.
Caleb, who works at a bait shop in California.
Find him.
And you're 19.
If anyone knows him, holla.
Exactly. Shifting into something a little bit more serious, something that I kind of made me respect Jennifer Lawrence amidst her whole naked picture dilemma.
Well, I've always liked her. So
I've always liked her. She's always been very outspoken. She's a woman of much poise and composure, in my opinion. But she candidly opened up to Vogue magazine about what she calls a sex crime. Here's what the blonde beauty had to say about her little issue. Quote, "It is a sexual violation and it's absolutely disgusting. The laws need to be changed and we need to change. That's why these websites are responsible. Just the fact that somebody can be sexually exploited and violated and the first thought that crosses somebody's mind is to make a profit from it is absolutely disgusting. It's so beyond me. I just cannot imagine being that detached from humanity. I can't imagine being that thoughtless and careless and so empty inside." Lawrence said that she attempted to compose a statement when the news of her cyber hacking broke, but every single thing she tried to write made her angry or cry. She continued, quote, "I started to write an apology, but then I realized I have nothing to say I'm sorry for. I was in a loving, healthy, great relationship for 4 years. It was long distance, and either your boyfriend is going to look at porn or he's going to look at you. Anybody who looked at those pictures, you're perpetrating a sexual offense. You should cower with shame. Even people who I know and love say, oh yeah, I looked at the pictures. I don't want to get mad, but at the same time I'm thinking, I didn't tell you could look at my naked body."
True. Preach it, sister.
That girl, I mean.
You do you, boo-boo.
And that's what I think is so important. I feel like ever since then, I think Jennifer Lawrence is kind of the face. Not that, I mean, who cares if you take a nude picture or not. But I think that Jennifer Lawrence has kind of become the face of unshaming girls who have been shamed over it.
I agree.
How many girls have committed suicide because their photos were leaked? How many celebrities have been shamed? How many people have just had their lives ruined?
And she's proud of herself.
My personal opinion is, I mean, she did it for a boyfriend that was long distance for 4 years. And it's true. They're going to look at porn or they're going to look at you. And in an industry where there's so much temptation, you gotta be creative. I mean, yeah. We have to utilize our cyber.
I mean,
cyber skills.
Next time, FaceTime. We all know that FaceTime is used now.
Yeah.
According to the police, they use it too.
Yeah, so, seriously.
There you go, FaceTime.
And it's not like she's doing it's not like she's doing a Teen Mom Farrah Abraham thing where she's making a sex tape and she's being. She's being private, and I feel like everybody's entitled to being private. It's not like people are trying to.
And
take
she got
pictures.
Hacked. So yeah, she got that's hacked. Not fair.
I mean. Celebrities do deserve that privacy. It's not like we're trying to figure out what they're doing in the bathroom all the time. Like, I don't care if you're taking a whiz.
Taking a number two.
And dropping a deuce.
Dropping a deuce.
We don't care.
We don't take it.
There's
we don't
privacy.
Watch that part
and
of it.
And for all of you people who like take pleasure in knowing their every little breath and like task that they're trying to complete, that's disgusting.
Live your own life.
Just live your life. No, I heard that. Jennifer Lawrence, I think that it's absolutely amazing that you're sticking up for yourself and you're not apologizing for something you're not sorry for. I feel like more people need to follow your footsteps, girl.
I agree. Preach
so,
it.
So that concludes our entertainment. But
moving on to Wicca Wicca Tech.
That was my robot impersonation.
I like it. No, I actually could hear the, you know, that show Robots or the movie Robots.
Yeah, yeah.
You mastered that.
Thank you. I've only watched it once. So I like to think I'm a ventriloquist.
It's
one of my many skills.
You know, there's the list that you put on resumes. That's one of them.
Ventriloquist.
Weird noises. Number two.
I'm a mixer. I'm a sound mixer.
Mixer. Yeah, number three.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you very much. But
that, wait, one more time. That was good.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Bam. I think nailed completely. Done.
I want to remind all the listeners out there, I am a girl. I just have a very low frequency in my voice sometimes.
My twin sister gets a little rambunctious.
Let me see you get low. You scared.
I'm scared right now.
I'm getting low with my voice, not with the other thing.
I'm getting really scared.
Okay, moving on. This is serious. This is really cool. I got some really cool tech news.
All right, let's hear this tech.
Butterflies are helping to potentially stop identity thieves and counterfeiters. Can you believe that?
No, I can't. Butterflies. I'm gonna hear
butterflies.
Let me hear it. Like the little flopping around the insects.
Flutter.
Those
beautiful like caterpillars.
Monarchs like
in the tree. Like that kind of that thing. That yeah. Turns, yeah.
How does butterflies help this?
Just you wait. Now researchers at Harvard University have figured out a way to use artificial photonic materials to mimic a South American butterfly and potentially stop identity thieves and counterfeiters. A group of researchers at Harvard University are looking for inspiration, and butterflies is literally the only thing they could come up with.
Really?
Out of all of South America. Out of the world.
Oh, look at this little insect.
So get this. In order to attract a mate, the male pure yellow Luna butterfly of Latin America uses its wings to perform an advanced optical trick known as reverse color diffraction. Thanks to the microstructure of its wings, made up of tiny scales curled slightly upward at the end to diffract light, the butterfly appears to change color when it's viewed from different angles. The pure yellow Luna's attractive light show has created what's known as a diffraction grating, a surface that splits white light into its individual wavelengths of color and sends those colors traveling in different directions. When the photonic material is viewed from one angle, it looks to be one color, but from a different angle, the color appears to change. According to the study, Mathis Cole, a member of the Harvard Research, he says, and I quote, "We thought we could benefit from such a unique material in security printing," Cole said. Quote, "Or potentially we could tailor the output of the light emitting devices by putting such a structure on top of them. The material could also coat the solar panels to manipulate how light enters the individual cells." So
how interesting.
That's
very creative.
It's such a new study, but I kept looking up on it because that's such a crazy headline. Yeah. Butterflies and preventing like counterfeiting and fraud. Like those little like little things you used to get and you flip them back and forth and it had like the image of them smiling and then you flipped it and it's kind of, that's what they're going to start doing now. So I feel like they've known about it, but I feel like
now they're finally building
a bridge between advancing with government and nature.
That's cool.
It's symbiotic to say the least.
It is.
That was that really cool piece of news I had to just absolutely share. But this is pretty cool too.
All right, let's
go. So last week we talked about Apple Pay. Remember that, Ruby Joe?
Yeah, with the, huge Apple 6.
Yeah, the Apple 6. You put your cards on your phone and you can scan your phone without having to carry your card physically.
A scary concept, but we
discussed it. Apple Pay has been making waves about it, but there's this new rival that's taking a more traditional approach. This app is called Plastic. And it's connected to cards that store up to 20 debit cards, credit cards, gift cards, loyalty, and identity cards. So you can carry one piece of plastic around instead of 20. It's available for pre-order starting today for $155 and will start shipping in summer 2015. Much like its competitor, Apple Pay, Plastic allows you to display individual card information so you can present it to waiters or attendants at cash registers. This way you can display even a black and white headshot of yourself so the attendant can refer back and compare for authentication.
Wow.
Weird, right?
Things are getting too high tech. I think at the point where you're at a restaurant and you have to hand the server your phone for, paying for the dinner, mm-hmm. I think that's gone too far.
Well, I'm a huge fan of, I'm very, keep your money to yourself, traditional, whatever. I think that there's just so much risk to having your financial information easily accessed through the internet. There's so many smart hackers out there. Why wouldn't they?
And we just discussed hacking with Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah, it's free money. If someone's desperate for money, it's not like they have to go steal now. They just have to sit in their bedroom, the comfort of their room with their Twinkies and their ho-hos.
And just hack the world out of people's phones.
Make millions. It's wrong. And the one bank account, that could really screw someone's life over,
It really could.
Wow. So I'm
against it.
Not a fan, but it's out there for all you techs who really appreciate that. It's my job to make sure you're aware.
I like it.
So, end of that story. Kind of slurp it.
We're done with the,
Seal it, throw it away.
Apple Pay. We don't like it.
Get it, got it, done. So, my last technological news of the day is tips to keep kids grounded in a social media crazed world. I know us growing up in the decade, it was really easy to like bounce around our parents' rules and sneak your phone and
get MySpace.
And then God, praise God for the iMessage saying you didn't have to have your phone to physically text people. You could have your laptop.
Yeah, you like, can have your laptop. So, or like when you had
iPod.
Your iPod.
iPod Touch.
iPod Touch that matches your iPhone.
Mm-hmm. I used to give my iPod Touch to my parents, so they thought it was my iPhone.
Same, my mom's probably listening to this, so I'm probably not. I'm stopping there.
So, oh, my mom knows. She confessed. I confessed long ago. Oops. I had to repent for my sins.
Oh, but there you go.
There's a woman who's come out with a book on how to keep your kids grounded and how to work around those loopholes, because even though we were those bad kids, we don't want the kids uprising and creating a downfall of society, so to say. So we have a little interview and a little clip for you guys to check out, and here it is.
Mini or her mini screen.
That's right. But our next guest says if there's a will, there's a way. She's here to show us how to create that perfect balance. Arlene Pelican is the author of Growing Up Social, and we have some questions for you.
Yes.
So how do you know? I mean, right now, so many kids have exposure to tablets, phones. How do you know if they're on too much, too often?
Yes. You have that gut feeling that tells you, am I letting them do too much? And you also start to see some behaviors that if they're not on the internet, they start looking for it. You know, I know people that have gone on vacation that they have no internet access and they've come back early because their kids said we couldn't handle being out here. So you see that there's this compulsion that if I don't have it, I'm going to be irritable. And it's something that's very alarming for parents and right. For grandparents.
And we were just talking before, the big thing in an earlier generation was stop watching television. Enough with the boob tube. Now it's enough with your phone, iPad, and right. Everything else. All right, you set up some guidelines for us. Yeah. First off, set up guidelines.
Yes, a lot of parents do not have a game plan, and so whatever happens, happens. And so the American Academy of Pediatrics, they recommend no screen time for babies to 2 years old,
okay. And
then 2 hours for kids 2 to 18. And I know many parents out there are like, we do a lot more than 2 hours, and so just consider
2 to 18?
Age 2 to 18, 2 hours of screen time would be optimal.
That seems like a lot.
Would be optimal.
Maybe.
And then there'll be other parents that will say, wow, that's how will I get there? So wherever you're at, consider these guidelines and then make incremental changes towards where you want to go.
Okay, you're a mom of three, right?
Yeah.
Now, you say there should be screen-free zones, including mealtime.
Yes, mealtime is a huge thing, and you know you've been in the restaurants, and you're thinking, you're here, you're paying for dinner, talk to each other.
Right.
So my co-author, Dr. Gary Chapman, sees a lot of different families, and you see this breakdown where people are not communicating. So make sure that mealtimes, that's a time where there are no phones, parents included, and no video games, and let that be a time of communication, and really set aside that meal time.
And you really see it as kids get older when they cannot communicate with adults, cannot talk to their teachers, cannot express themselves at all.
Yeah.
They're most comfortable looking down.
Right.
All right. You also say evaluate the content with ABCs.
Yes, because you also want to know what is my child watching. So the A, the attitude. You know when your child is done with something, what is their attitude like? B, the behavior. What kind of behavior does this show they're watching or this video game they're playing? What does it make them do? And then the character. What character is being encouraged in my child by watching this? Because obviously technology can be very positive, but it can also be very negative.
But I want to ask this. How much of the kids' on-screen behavior and tech behavior is reflective of the adult's behavior?
Right.
I mean, it's kind of hypocritical.
It's huge.
The adults need to go through the ABCs, don't they?
Totally.
Have no screen time zones.
It's huge. Because as a parent or a grandparent is reading this book, they're going to realize this is about me. Because the children are going to emulate what we do and how our digital life is. And we can't impart what we don't have ourselves.
Right. So you got to have some discipline there.
You do.
And also, I notice an agitation with kids when they get to a certain point. Yeah. Also, they get a text message, puts them over the top. The positive point is you don't get the phone calls. They're not on the phone for 4 hours.
Right.
They're looking down for maybe too much.
Right. And it's just it's a different thing. Even just before the show, we were talking about how you used to have a parent call and say, oh, is Jimmy there? And you'd know this child because they were calling your phone.
Right.
But now it's all something that a parent really has to work doubly hard to be involved in their child's life.
But you pointed, that's important. I mean, to get involved and actually see. You can actually do background checks on your kids' friends now just through Instagram and kind of see who they're following, what their behaviors are.
Right.
I think in a way, we're in an advantage point with tech. But these tips are essential to just keep them mindfully using it. Thank you so much. Arlene Pelican, Growing Up Social is the book. We thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Arlene.
Wow. That was a really cool little spiel you got for us today.
Yeah, I think parents, you better take note, modify to your liking.
Yeah.
Don't you agree? And I think it's important too, like we said, in this world where technology is everything. I mean, you gotta be on top of it.
Yeah, you can do background checks on your children's friends if you want.
You can do that. You have the power to do that, but there is not that personable moment you can share with the kid when a kid's calling, like they said, "Hey, is Jamie there?" Like,
yeah,
it's different. But I mean, you gotta roll with emotions. Things change and
roll with the punches.
It's scary, but it's sometimes for the better.
Agreed.
So
that was your little tip for you.
Yeah, wraps up my little tip spiel, my tech, my entertainment. It's just kind of like a to the vault. Yeah, to the vault. But that's all I had to say, Ruby Joe.
It is. All right, so next we have our sports, and we're going to come to that after the break. So first we're going to talk about the Giants and their win. Woo! And then we're going to go into more soccer with Abby Wambach and her lawsuit, and then Hope Solo and her domestic violence charges.
Oof, sounds rough. I can't wait to hear about this.
Oh, it's interesting. I'm giving you that.
Oof.
So when we get back, you're listening to radio.dominican.edu. I'm Ruby Joe.
And I'm Harper Clementine, and this is Good Day from the Bay.
We'll be right back.
With your 3-minute break. 3 minutes of the wildest, weirdest, wackiest news to get your mind off your day. Let's get it started. In San Diego's Gaslamp Quarter District Tuesday, a pedicab driver was discovered unconscious with a snake around his neck. Travis Ilzer Young, 27, is accused of riding a bicycle under the influence. Officers said they found Young intoxicated and passed out on the ground just after 1:30 a.m. As they approached him, Young climbed onto his pedicab and tried to cycle away backwards, but apparently left his snake. San Diego Police Department contacted the San Diego County Animal Service, who removed the 18-inch snake and said it wasn't in good condition. The ball python was taken to an emergency veterinarian to be treated for starvation, dehydration, and anemia, animal services say. The reptile will stay in the hospital until further notice. A man who jokingly sought $10 from a crowdfunding website to pay for his first attempt at making potato salad and ended up raising $55,000 is making good on his promise to throw one huge party. Zach Brown is planning Potato Stop 2014, an all-ages charity-minded party Saturday in downtown Columbus, Ohio, featuring bands, food trucks, beer vendors, potato sack races, and definitely potato salad. His effort on Kickstarter in early July to buy potato salad ingredients took on a life of its own and attracted worldwide attention as the amount grew. The 31-year-old eventually raised $55,492. The Columbus Dispatch reports Brown partnered with the Columbus Foundation to start an endowment that will aid area charities that fight hunger and homelessness. The account started with $20,000 in post-campaign contribution donations, but will grow after proceeds from the potato stock are added. A German city is launching a program aimed at getting alcoholics and drug addicts off the streets by paying them with beer and cigarettes for doing menial cleaning jobs. The pilot project, called Pickup, is being tested with 10 homeless addicts who normally loiter in public spaces. The program set to start on Wednesday and inspired by a Dutch program in Amsterdam faces heavy criticism. Many say that beer and cigarettes should not be paid for by public money. Others just don't think it's morally right to give severe alcoholics beer. And that has been it for your 3-minute break. I'm Harley D signing off. This is radio.dominican.edu.
Jose,
and we're having a baby.
Stage light, go and shine on down. Got the
that Bob Barker suit game and Plinko in my style. Money, stay on my crap.
I get no doubt.
Got a little I Get Knocked Down to start us off with our sports segment. Welcome back. You're listening to Good Day from the Bay.
I'm Harper Clementine.
And I'm Ruby Joe. This is radio.dominican.edu.
So let's get some started with some sports.
Starting with the Giants. They beat the Nationals 3-2 to go into the National League Championship game. Woohoo! The Giants were the 10th seed in this tournament. The little guys who backed their way in. Have some fun, get to participate, move out. Yeah, woohoo, let's do this. What do you know? The Giants are going to the Final Four again. So we have 2010, 2012, and now the year.
You said four times.
I know, but I'm saying this is, okay, we're like they're Final Four. So they're the Final Four teams.
Oh, God, okay.
There
okay,
you go.
I got confused.
And
sorry.
I'm saying we're like the Giants are about like the even years. The even
they're
years are their
neck.
Favorite. Yeah. No, like the even years, like 2012, they went and they won the World Series.
Oh,
2014,
okay,
they won the World Series.
I'm picking up what you're putting down. There I got we go. It.
And so now we're in the year 2014.
It's even.
Even. 2 years later, we're going to go and win it again.
Wow.
There you go. So also winning last night was the Cardinals beat the L.A. Dodgers. 3-2 as well.
Gross.
So they're going to play, the Cardinals are going to play the Giants on October 11th, 5 p.m. in St. Louis, Missouri. The interesting part about watching these two games last night is when the Giants beat the Nationals, hit it to second base, and then we got the Nationals out at first base. And when the Cardinals beat L.A., the L.A. Dodgers hit it to second base, and we got them out at second base. So the same score, and they won the game basically the same way.
Wow.
So, cool ending, I thought. Little synchronicity fun
fact
there.
W-O-W. Wow.
Wow. Okay, they're Giants fan. All right, moving on to something you may have already heard me talk about this year, which is...
Wait, we talked about this before, didn't we, on a show?
Yeah, that's what I said. You may have heard me discuss.
Oh, duh.
It's all right, it's
all
right.
Sports is not my thing if you guys haven't picked up what I'm putting down.
It's okay, you know. I'm explaining it to you. We're learning. We're
fraternal.
It's a learning process.
Yes.
All right. So Wambach leads suit over World Cup turf. So the U.S. soccer star Abby Wambach and a group of elite international players filed a lawsuit last Wednesday, challenging plans to play in the 2015 Women's World Cup on the artificial turf in Canada. Led by Wambach, the players filed the suit at the Ontario Human Rights Tribunal in Toronto, attorney Hampton Delagier said. The women claims playing the sports premier tournament on fake grass accounts to gender discrimination under Canadian law. Their male counterparts always have played the World Cup on national grass surface. Will the foreseeable future, will they play on turf or will they play on grass now that a whole lawsuit has been put up?
So as a soccer player, Ruby Joe, what can you explain more about the importance of turf versus grass?
Okay, so turf, you're more likely to get injured because your cleats can get caught in the turf and like there's, because turf is like rubber, mm-hmm. you know, so you're more likely to get caught.
Yeah.
So it's like I got hurt on turf. I know a dozen other women soccer players that got hurt on turf. But the thing with grass, it's smooth and it's natural and it has like a give to it. Because when
like
you're
a natural
playing on ground,
bend, yeah.
Yeah, it's a natural thing, and then turf isn't. Even though like the weather may not be perfect, like out there in Canada, but still the weather wasn't perfect in Brazil for the men's World Cup.
The weather's never really perfect. Like if you want to get down to technicalities, it's perfect once in a blue moon.
Agree, or a blood moon. If
or
you
a
wanna,
blood moon
if you want to.
You see what we did there?
Go back to what we were talking about earlier. I like it.
No, I know it's true. Every once in a blood moon. It's perfect weather, so that's interesting.
Leading into the next drama, though, with the Women's World Cup, with our women's national team, Hope Solo.
Oh, gosh.
Have you heard anything on that so far?
Train wreck.
Yeah. So Hope Solo is awaiting a trial on domestic violence charges related to an incident in June involving her sister and 17-year-old nephew.
Oh, geez.
U.S. Soccer is allowing Solo to play in matches leading up to the 2015 World Cup in Canada. Now, one of Hope Solo's national squad teammates is calling out actions taken against her. get this, her backup goalie, substitute goalkeeper, Jillian Loyden, wrote about her own experience with domestic violence and asked U.S. Soccer to respond to Solo's alleged misleads and tell her that she's not allowed to play because it's bad. Wrong. It's like it's promoting something that's
well,
bad.
It's, just, it's like teaching kids out there that you do something wrong and, oh, okay, well, just because you're a professional athlete, just yeah. slap on the wrist. Like.
So Loyden is the first athlete from the U.S. Women's National Team program to speak publicly and ask for actions against Solo before her November trial.
Oh my, do you know what's kind of like flickering in my head? My little entertainment matchmaking side. Get this. Michael Phelps and Hope Solo.
They probably
were. That's a match made in train wreck heaven.
Right? But also, one more thing. So Loyden also runs her own foundation, which she started in honor of her little sister who was attacked by domestic violence. So the backup goalie's sister.
So she was greatly affected and very personally.
And she has a domestic violence foundation that she made in 2012. And so then Hope Solo did this crime
and then all
supposedly
of a sudden,
did this crime.
Could you imagine?
What is funny, like, it's not funny, but the backup goalkeeper who wants to play in the World Cup in this next summer is saying all these things to get Hope Solo, you know, knocked
bumped
off,
out, make her
come in.
It's fishy.
It is. It's a really touchy subject.
Not to discredit them, but it's fishy. The timing is all very fishy.
It is. Very fishy.
Well, that was some great piece of news. Do you have anything else?
I have a little snippet of the Ole Miss Bama game. My friend, shout out, was in Mississippi over the weekend, and she was at the Ole Miss versus Bama game.
Big game.
They won. Seconds left in the game. Crowd storms the field, takes out the post.
Oops.
Just
there it goes.
Yeah, knocks it over. They were going crazy. It was the most exciting thing. She was there. She said it was rambunctious, like craziest thing she's ever been to.
Could you imagine the Southerners and their football?
Yeah.
That's like white girls and their coffee.
Yeah, and it's like 22 Jump Street, how they went in there, and I think it's months later how Ole Miss goes in there and takes out the goalpost as well.
Wow. That's wow. So what's coming of that?
There, you can go online and you can donate. You can donate for the fundraising campaign that allows to donate for this new post that they need to put up. They have already goalposts cost $22,000 to replace. However, they have already raised a lot of money. So go online to Ole Miss and help donate if you're a fan.
Okay, beautiful. That was a great way. That was a great little story, a little pick-me-up, informational, sports, entertainment.
Yeah, we got them all
in
there
today. We kind of wrapped it all in one in that last story. That was great.
There we go.
Well, that's a wrap.
Well, this
Benito finished.
This was Hump Day's little spiel for you.
Yeah, enjoy the rest of your Hump Day, you San Rafaelians.
You're listening to radio.dominican.edu.
And this is Good Day from the Bay. I'm Harper Clementine.
And I'm Ruby Joe.
Check us out next week from 2 to 3 on Wednesdays.
Have a good rest of your day.
Bye.